Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us again on the second and final day of our festival here in Reval. Our technicians are preparing the stage for the last performance. And I'm going to take a little of your time and share with you another part of the culture of India. Yesterday we spoke about philosophy, the great spiritual wisdom that India has to offer the world. And this evening I'd like to share with you a little bit about the practical lifestyle that all of us are following. This is the festival of India, but we as Westerners are following this culture. Actually, behind this great event, there's about 320 devotees. Doing the administration, booking the festival sites, setting the festival up, cooking the food for the restaurant, going on the beaches and advertising with the invitations. And these 320 devotees are from 18 different countries. So I thought that we would share with you a little bit of our lifestyle, because we're practicing this spiritual way of life from India. For us, it's not just a show, as we're presenting you, but it's actually a way of life. So like in India, all of us, we rise very early in the morning. Actually, in India, people rise 1.5 hours before the sun rises. That's considered a very auspicious time of the day, because everything's very peaceful, it's very quiet. And you can think about the higher goal of life. As human beings, we're meant to think about deeper spiritual things. Who am I? Where have I come from? What happens at the moment of death? Who is God? What is the spiritual world like? How to free myself from this material existence and return home to the spiritual sky? This is the real purpose of the human form of life. So most of the day we're very busy with so many things. So in India, people get up early before the sun rises and they think about these things. So we rise at 4:30, we take a shower. It said that cleanliness is next to godliness. And those of us who are celibate monks, we put on this saffron color. And those who are married, you see many boys here married, they wear the white color. Just like in our Catholic tradition, the celibate men, they wear black. So in India, those boys who have taken that path of renunciation, they wear the saffron color. And the ladies, they all wear these beautiful silk saris. A variety of colors. Silk is very practical. Silk keeps you warm in the winter, and it keeps you cool in the summer. And the ladies who are married, they wear a dot on their forehead there. And all the ladies in India, they keep their hair tied back as a sign of modesty or shyness or chastity. And the monks, they shave their heads like this. It's very clean. And it helps detach one from the bodily concept of life. This is the philosophy of India, that we're not these material bodies. We're not black or white or yellow, or Polish, German, American, or man or woman or fat or skinny. No. We're not the body, we're not material. We're the soul within the body. And that soul is an eternal servant of God. So to realize you're an eternal servant of God, you have to become a little detached from your body. So when the men shave their head, that helps. So after we get dressed, we go into our temple. In some cities, we've built beautiful Indian temples. Or if one is married, one can make the home like a temple. And the very first thing we do during the day, before anything else, you can see all the devotees at the festival, they're carrying these little bags like this. And many times people, they stop and they say, "Sir, what's in the bag?" So something very special. I'll show you. These are our meditation beads, like prayer beads. Like here in Poland, you have your rosary, which is 54 beads. So in India, people carry a string of beads, 108. And the purpose is very much the same as your Catholic tradition. The devotee will sit down and he'll put his fingers on one of the beads. And then he'll meditate on God by very softly chanting God's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we go to the next bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the next bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like that, we chant on each bead all the way around, 108. And when we get to the end, we go back again. So we chant 16 times around the beads. That takes us about an hour and a half or 2 hours. So someone said to me the other day, 2 hours chanting Hare Krishna? What is this? I said, sir, these are names of God, and God is present in the sound of His name. You're getting His association by singing His name. You don't have to chant Hare Krishna. You can chant any name of God. God is one, but He has many names. And I said, besides that, just consider that the average person in Poland watches 2.5 hours of television every day. So we also watch television, but 2.5 hours is... You know, we watch the cartoons, and people watch the movies, and they watch the news, and okay, but I think from the spiritual point of view, it's more, your time is better spent chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then we put our beads away. And then wherever we are in the world, if we're traveling or at home, we sit down and we discuss the philosophy of this book called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, and it was spoken by Lord Krishna when he was present on the planet 5,000 years ago. It's one of the many authorized scriptures in the world. In every spiritual tradition, there's a scripture which forms the basis of that philosophy and that way of life. Such a scripture as Bhagavad Gita is very valuable in our lives. Actually, it's been explained by our spiritual master that just as when you purchase a very sophisticated machine, there's always a manual which comes along with the machine which teaches you how to use it. You might buy a computer and there's a manual. So there's always a big card that says, please read the manual before you attempt to use the computer. So at the beginning of creation, the Lord gave us so many authorized scriptures, like the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, the Bhagavad Gita. These are meant to be manuals how to live our life in this world as best we can. But ultimately, how to get out of this world and go back to our real home, the spiritual world. How to live our life as best we can means that you can't find perfect happiness in the material world. All of us are looking for happiness, and we try our best to avoid distress. But if you analyze this world, you'll understand you're not going to find perfect happiness here. The world's not made like that. Just like when a car manufacturer, when they make a car, they actually make that car in such a way that in 10 or 15 or 20 years, you're going to have to sell it, or you're going to have to take it to the garbage dump and buy a new one. That's just the way they do it, because they want more money. If they wanted to, they could make a car that lasts 100 years. They have the technology, but they make them to last 15 or 20 years. There's a purpose for that. In the same way, when the Lord creates this world, He doesn't create it as something perfect. He creates it with some imperfections, like birth, disease, old age, and death. Just so you know that this is not your real home. It's a type of impetus so that you'll take to the spiritual path in order to go back home, back to the kingdom of God. We don't stay in this world very long. We're like a traveler who checks into a hotel, and 3 days later he checks out and goes on his way. In the same way, we're here 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then we have to move on, we have to die and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the hotel room, you have to do a few things to make yourself comfortable, but don't think it's your permanent home. When you move into the hotel, you don't like order a new rug and change the glass chandelier into crystal chandelier. You don't order marble for the bathroom. No, you know you're only there for a few days. So you take advantage of the facility, but you don't put more effort into it than is necessary. You know you have to move on. In the same way, we have to move on from this life. We have to die. So we shouldn't put all our effort into making this world a comfortable place. Most of our effort should go into becoming freed from this world and going back to the spiritual world. And just how to do that is described in this book, Bhagavad Gita. So these are the things we discussed before breakfast. Most people are talking about business even before breakfast. About the Dow Jones, about the stock exchange. I mean, of course, we have to discuss these things, but not the whole day. Some time has to be reserved for this higher discussion. And then we have breakfast. What kind of breakfast do we have? Well, take a guess. You can just visit our vegetarian restaurant and guess what type of breakfast we have. Vegetarian. No meat, no fish, no eggs. Why? Well, most doctors today, they agree that meat eating is one of the main causes of cancer. Which is true. But we're vegetarian for a deeper reason. That we don't believe in violence. It's a Sanskrit word, ahimsa, it means non-violence. We're taught to respect all forms of life because life is sacred, because it's created by God. And because we don't create life, we don't have the right to take life. And to take that life is something very cruel and very painful. You have to kill the animal. Or somebody has to kill the animal. And that's not very nice. One of the great saintly persons of India, Gandhi, he said, you can judge a country by how they treat their animals. The distinguishing quality of a human being above animals is that a human being, he can feel compassion for the suffering of others. Animals don't feel compassion for the suffering of others. So when we lose that sense of compassion, we cease to be human beings in the actual sense of the word. So we're proposing a violence-free society. All across the board, not only human beings, but all of God's brothers, all of God's children. And it's easy to be vegetarian because you're very healthy. You can get all the protein, all the minerals, all the vitamins, everything that's required from a good vegetarian diet. I've been vegetarian since I was 14 and I'm 60. And I'm very healthy. I can keep up with all these young people as they're singing down the beach and singing down the street. I can keep up with them even though I'm 60 years of age. So it makes sense to be vegetarian. And we're practically demonstrating that. Then after breakfast, the kids go to school. And those who are married couples, they go to work. Hare Krishna devotees, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're businessmen, they're farmers, they're whatever. Some of us who are in a saffron cloth, we travel and we teach this philosophy, this wisdom. But really, we live very much like everyone else. But we keep the focus of our lives very much spiritual. And we very much enjoyed sharing with you this wonderful festival the last 2 days. Our sincere hope is that you have enjoyed it as much as we have presenting it to all of you. I know many of you have come before. This is our 19th year on the Baltic Sea coast. And we do hope to see you in the years that come as well. We do have centers around the country. We have a beautiful temple in Warsaw. We have centers in Wrocław, and we have a very beautiful farm in the southern part of the country. During the year, you can visit our centers and learn more about this very ancient spiritual culture. And of course, we have our books, Bhagavad Gita especially. The whole culture is based on this ancient scripture, so you can maybe visit our book tent before you go. And we hope to see you again in the future, over and over again. It's this very wonderful cultural event. Dziękuję bardzo. Thank you. We're going to finish the evening with a kirtan. I mentioned the chanting of Hare Krishna on the beach, but another type of chanting where many people come together and sing and dance to the same song. And of course the kids, they're well aware of this because during the chanting we have a dance competition. And usually we offer 5 silk saris as a prize, but we're going to offer 10.
Yes, I heard.
Because we're getting to the close of the festival season, so we have a lot of saris left over. So this evening, 10 silk saris are there for the best dancers. Okay, how many of you little girls would like an Indian sari to take home? Aha, okay, all right, well, dance your hearts out. Okay, so we're going to call the backup crew, the choir, we're going to call them on. Please give them a big round of applause as they come on the stage. All these beautiful young girls dressed in the silk saris, smiling, chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. They're from all countries all over Europe. Russia, they're from Ukraine, they're from Greece, they're from Latvia, from France, from Germany, from Spain, Serbia, England, America, Poland. Bardzo dobrze. Okay, so don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be in Polwirowa. I know a lot of people that follow the festival around, so tomorrow for 2 days we'll be in Polwirowa by the stadium, the new stadium there. Okay, Hare Krishna.